This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, standing 6'2", 287 pounds, from the south shore of Nassau County, Long Island. Sweating already during the intro, he's the number one fuck. Johnny G, also joining me in the High and Mighty Studios, my nearly signed co-host, Arthur Gabrus. Arthur, give him a shout out. Also joining me in the High and Mighty Studios. Haven't seen these guys in the High and Mighty Studios in a while, but have seen them every week for 3+ hours over the entire quarantine. So I'm tired of them, but hopefully you're not. It's the fucking Action Boys themselves. From the dumbbells, it's Ryan Stanger. From the fucking masterclass, it's Ben Rogers.
Hi, what's John.
Up? Hello, Hi. Gentlemen.
Hello.
Hello.
Treat to be here. Thank you for having us.
You fucked up and said Heidi Mighty.
Yeah, I know. Well, that actually is the new name of the show because we have this. It's all SponCon for the novel Heidi.
Okay.
It's like,
damn, dude, because I was ready to pounce. I was like, he slipped up, man. The show hasn't even started. My boy slipped, and we can't let that fucking fall away. We got to pounce on it.
Yeah, is that what the Shirley Temple movie is based on, the novel?
I think so. Is there a novel? I don't know. I'm just trying to cover my tracks. I probably said Heidi because this is the third podcast I recorded today, and I hit the sauna in between 2 and 3.
So oh, damn
brain
shit,
is
dude.
Scramby, baby.
Rock and roll.
Did you have weird eyes like Stanger has every day?
Stanger's red eyes.
Stanger has a sauna in his backyard. For people who don't know about Stanger's lifestyle, he's a full-time sauna man, and he'll frequently come on to the Action Boys podcast
moments seconds after a sauna.
I think seconds. I think under a minute. I think we can count that as seconds.
Wrong, but go ahead. I don't want to end the fun, but please go ahead.
Wait, okay. This okay. Stanger.
No. I like when Stanger gets fucking
we
mad.
We roast him relentlessly, and then this is the one time he's always like, no.
He's always mad when we bring up the sauna.
Don't you dare disrespect her.
I mean, look, it's pretty quick. There's a pretty quick turnaround from when I'm in the sauna versus when I'll jump on the record. Right. And, you know, you look like fucking crazy. You look like a true crazy person.
You're also usually shirtless.
Yeah.
Which helps which makes us which like
makes
think
the
you might be
thing
cutting
kind
it closer.
Of like play. I know you think it's crazy, but usually you have a towel and like are putting a shirt on.
this whole quote unquote argument stems from just one time your eyes were particularly red, but your shirt was on and you didn't seem sweaty. So I just wanted to like make sure everything
you
was
okay.
Oh yeah,
and I was
you
like,
wanted
and I
to
was
make
like,
sure. Shut
I
up.
I asked you what's going on with your eyes.
That's the funniest fucking thing. Dude, I'm serious. What is? Are you okay?
Concerned, man.
Dude, I'm fucking worried about you. Please tell me you're okay.
You're right. I'll back off. No reason to worry about Stanger whatsoever.
Dude, seriously, please tell me if you're okay. I know we go over this every week and your eyes look weird from the sauna, but this time, and then what happened on the show is I was just like, there was nothing I could say. Like, I knew I looked like a fucking crazy person. What am I going to say? I don't look like
we've
a crazy person.
We've already had this fucking rehash once already. Stanger has gotten just as hot in this fucking rejudication of it.
And look, so I didn't say anything. I just kept plowing ahead of like whatever we needed to do for the show because it was like I didn't know what to say. Like
something
I guess
someone might do if something actually happened. Wait, what's wrong? Nothing, man. Just keep like who cares? I'm not gonna just. So I'm like, oh shit, did something actually happen now? And then I'm backpedaling from like I don't want to roast him about the sauna if he's like was crying because he got in a fight or with his wife or his son got in trouble at school or some shit.
I felt to me like I was crying about it.
I thought he was crying. I thought he was crying about his son. Like being in trouble at school. I thought Stone got like fucking little slap in the wrist by his principal or whatever, and it fucking got to Stanger so hard he just fucking burst into tears.
That was my theory.
I see the flaws in it now.
I was getting a healthy dose of shit, and I was like, I can either like just like say no, I didn't, or I didn't just get out, or yes, I did. I was crying. It felt untenable, so I just said nothing, and then that was maybe the worst thing to do.
Yeah. Now, yeah.
I don't know.
No choice is a choice.
Yeah.
We've gotten a lot of not good material, but we've definitely talked for a total of like 14 minutes now across two different podcasts about this, this is the main reason I wanted to have you guys on.
We've already gone off the reservation. Has the show even started yet?
We should say that
we're
was
almost
the,
done. We only have like 6 minutes left. So if you guys want to get to plugs, we can get out of here.
The Flash Gordon episode, which most people have written in, is being fantastic. The feedback on that episode was excellent. Excellent. So, you know, I don't know, maybe it gave us something, kind of fuel.
It was some kind of weird fuel. Yeah, we were juiced up, ready to fucking rock in there.
So, this was supposed to be a promotion for Action Boys, and I'm starting to think we're going to turn off as many listeners as we turn on.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're trying. That's the kind of fucking sweet spot, though, is I want people repulsed by us, but cannot help but get horny listening.
Yeah, it's like when you're in traffic and you're like, man, why is traffic so slow? And then you realize it's because like there's a big orgy on the side of the road.
Yeah, it's like watching a woman suck a man's dick and you're like, this is fucking amazing. And then it's revealed that it's your mom and dad. And you're like, okay, it's nice to see fucking oral live, but...
It's like when so
something
you know,
infuriating also to it.
You get you're on stage dancing and somebody tongue kisses you and it's your aunt. A la 1987 Summer School, a movie we just discussed.
Which means we can't talk about much else but the last thing that's in our brain, no matter where we are or what the situation or context is. That's me all the time. I'm talking on High and Mighty to someone about like healthcare, and I'm like, yeah, well, in Hell Comes to Frogtown, Sam is saying, and she's like, what? And I'm like, sorry, it's the only thing.
Sorry, you haven't watched Masters of the Universe in a long time?
You don't know it by you haven't created two characters from Masters of the Universe that are in every episode of your 3.5-hour podcast?
You haven't watched Masters of the Universe from 1987 in a while and changed the characteristics of one of the characters in that movie into a full-blown psycho that you bring up all the time. You don't get that?
You haven't listened to the Action Boys podcast, the Flight of the Intruder episode, and the one right after it, which is also kind of about Flight of the Intruder again.
Action Boys, our podcast is like when you sing merrily, singing in rounds, where it's like the next episode is half about the last movie we saw every time. Like,
you didn't get enough Flight of the Intruder.
The episode after the episode we talked about Crow, we talk about Hangman's Joke, Eric Draven's band.
Dude.
If you don't know that.
Anytime someone brings up the Crow, they have no idea. Like, I'm instantly like, man, Hangman's Joke fucking slaps. And they're like, what?
What are you talking about?
That's the band that Eric Draven's in.
My brother's
Eric Draven.
Yeah. My brother texted me. He's like, I'm watching the Crow. And I'm like, Hangman's Joke, huh? They're fucking tight. No idea what I was talking about. And he was watching it.
And he's a listener of the podcast. Like, he might actually.
His brain is doing the right thing.
Yeah, like, it's worried about like
leaving
his
behind
life.
The information it doesn't need.
His life, his family.
He's job. Like, sorry, at my job, I'm in charge of multiple people. I can't keep track of the fake bands in one-hit movies.
My brain's glymphatic system works. It does the job that it's supposed to. It's not picking up all the pond scum like yours is. For people that don't know, the origin of the Action Boys is High and Mighty. It started on this podcast. Were we
episode two?
Okay, yeah.
Episode two was Predator. Yeah.
Wow. Gabrus brought us on to talk about Predator, and it never stopped. The conversation kept on going. Here we are.
It did. Mm.
Here we are 5 years later.
It did. It's been a fucking long fucking time, guys.
Half a decade later.
Jesus Christ. This is.
We all look bad.
Dude, episode two was you guys. The episode that just came. This episode. We're at like 320 now. Like 318 weeks ago, we recorded the first High and Mighty.
Wow. 320.
320,
call
man.
Somebody, call somebody you know who might have weed later.
No, dude, if you're living in Central Time, get blazed with your New York friends on Zoom. Don't forget you have Jeopardy at 6 p.m. Central. The only reason I know Central Time Zone is because Jeopardy was 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central.
Wait, get blazed with your New York friends?
Yeah, because yeah. They would be 420 there if it was 320 in
Central Time.
Yeah,
everybody bust out your calculators.
Get your world maps. Let's sort it out.
So the episode for today, What Action Movies Taught Us, we're woefully unprepared. Nothing funny or fun.
Gabriel told us it was important we don't prepare.
Yeah, it was important. I was like, take a load off. I want you to come in with the exact same amount of effort I put into Action Boys.
But I would say, just while we're talking about Action Boys, even if you don't watch action movies, you do get some sad stories. Some life lessons.
Reminiscing amongst adult male friends.
You do get a lot of blue body humor.
Yeah. And you'll get all this multiple times because we do have severe to moderate brain damage between the three of us. And we do tend to repeat ourselves, tell the same stories. Sometimes we tell the same story again worse because we can't remember details that we remembered the first time we told it.
Sometimes
our listeners help us out and actually will do the story better than we can.
I'll put myself in the severe category if we're for brain damage.
I have goldfish brain where I think everything's fine. Then I look away from the computer screen, come back, and it's all new to me.
Yeah.
And I've lost object permanence,
which is a major fucking blows your mind.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah. It's a major milestone as a kid when they get it, and I've lost mine, so I guess that's a milestone. And you know,
I got good old-fashioned Swiss cheese brain, and there's a lot of holes in there, baby.
Keep them coming. Those dark spots are good for you on your MRI. The reason I even thought to do Action Boys in the first, thought to have you guys on, well, we connected over action movies, but the first time I realized how much action movies affected my life was living in Brooklyn. I lived over by a highway, but people would drive super fast on the streets there. And I was about to cross a street and a motorcycle with two people on it, both all in black with helmets, screeches to a halt because the light had just turned red. And I swear to God, I thought the person on the back was just going to take out an Uzi and shoot me. I was like, there's no other context for two people on a motorcycle blacked out like this except to pull out a submachine gun and assassinate the fucking Secretary of State and then zoom off into traffic. So in that moment, I was like, you probably have been watching too many action movies if you're getting PTSD on the fucking streets of hipster Brooklyn.
Gebers and I moved here, we would just sit by the pool in my building just shooting invisible rocket launchers and RPGs at the helicopters that would fly over.
It's hard not to when you see a helicopter, take a knee, have your friend load up your RPG from the back. Just 32 years old, playing by the pool, shooting fake guns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, still do it.
I remember towards the end of you living in that spot, I'm like, Rogers, I'm free today. You want to do kind of the pool thing? And you were like, I don't know, man. I feel like I'm a little too old to blow the middle of the day just getting sunburnt and hot and tired for the rest of the day. I was like, man, you are 100% right about that. I'll be in my driveway shirtless getting tan. But the way you just said it, I was like, shit, yeah, no, he's right. That's some adult shit. It's like, don't want to just cook myself in the middle of the day and have no juice for the night. Totally relatable.
I mean, at least now you can make some kind of vitamin D claim, Gabrus. You know.
Well, are you
Stanger, that's what you do, right? You soak up some rays to get some vitamin D. What are you doing? 20 minutes a day in the sun?
Yeah. I'd do 20 minutes. I'll read out there or something and
Yeah. For vitamin D. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe, you know, it was like, stay out of the sun, sunblock it up. And then it was like, no, you want to get a little bit, I guess, you know, cause I'll take the vitamin D3 tinctures, like sublingual. And then, but I guess you need actual sun to kind of finish. Yeah. To finish that whole process with it.
The vitamin D from the sun is like more bioavailable or something like that. Right?
And it makes the stuff that you take, like the vitamin that you take, work too. Like you need it all. The sun kind of finishes the whole transaction. Also, and I told you guys this too. Interesting about dogs, how they also need vitamin D from the sun, but it gets stored in their fur. And then when they lick it
off, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's, Tiffany was like,
are you licking your dog?
Yeah. So I'm
licking my dog. That's the sublingual tincture you're talking about. Is yeah. You wring out Delphi's fur and under your tongue.
Yeah. I fucking lick my dog all night long.
I thought that was clear. Yes, that's what I'm doing. Yeah, for sure. You can see my Instagram where I do it too. Yeah. It's called Puppy Popsicle, and it's hot. People fucking tune in, dude.
The other day, Tiffany was like, he licks his paws so much. I think it's because he has allergies and he's itchy. I'm like, actually, I think it's because that's how they get vitamin D. They lay in the sun, activate in their fur, and then lick it off. And she's like, where did you hear that from? And I was like, I have no idea. And I'm so confidently repeating it. And then the second you started talking, I was like, oh, and now I'm like passing off Stanger facts as my own, which is a whole, yeah, and they're not about nutrition or fitness.
They're not about fucking celebrities' dicks.
Yeah. Take a long, hard look in the mirror. You want a celebrity dick fact?
Please.
So Frank Sinatra famously had a huge dick. And I think it was like Lana Turner that says there isn't a starlet in Hollywood that hasn't cried over that thing.
That's great fucking yeah.
No, you've told it on Action Boys before.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's your lower back tattoo. Now we have the context for why it
now
makes
you can
sense.
Read it. It's in Latin, now, but that's what it's
you're keeping that one. You're only removing the arm one.
Only removing the band tattoo on the arm, the embarrassing one.
The Latin tramp stamp that has the Lana
Latin
Turner
tramp
quote.
Stamp that like that expounds on the virtues and size of the chairman of the board's fucking cock. I'm leaving on there.
Do any of you listeners have a tramp stamp that are men? Like before it became a quote unquote tramp stamp, did you just like think it was a good spot to get a tattoo? Because if so, like you'd probably enjoy Action Boys.
Dude, I knew a bunch of dudes who had tramp stamp tattoos as the transition to calling them tramp stamps was getting popular. Because that was like early 2000s that people started saying that. But in like the mid 90s, surfers got lower back tattoos frequently. And like three of the guys I lifeguarded with had like suns or waves or like dumb shit on their lower back. And it was like, and then one summer it was fine. The next summer we came back and everyone knew the phrase tramp stamps. And like my buddy Joe is like, I guess I'm getting this removed.
I almost got one. I was going to do the scene of that Disney movie where the dogs share the plate of spaghetti. I don't remember what the movie's called.
It's called Tramp and the Other Dog.
Right. That's right.
You're going to get a lady stamp. Of
that's
lady.
Not it.
I got a Trump stamp where it just says Trump across your lower back.
Well, that one guy got fucking Nixon on his back, like a tramp stamp. And
what's that fucking Roger Stone? That fucking Stone. Freak. He's a fucking.
He's a listener of Action Boys.
He is.
So,
yeah. We keep trying to delete him, but he keeps coming up with new names.
Yeah.
That's something we should say is that. The reason our Patreon is not that popular is because we haven't had any right-wing thinkers on as guests. Like, Roger Stone is a listener. He keeps asking to come on the pod, and we could star-fuck and just get him on just to juice our membership. But we're not 75% of other Patreon podcasts.
Come on, lefties. Could you fucking get us a big Spotify deal or something? Does it have to be? We're getting lapped by all these fucking right-wing psychos.
Shit, Candace Owens is on her fourth comedy podcast this week. What the fuck?
I can't even afford my tattoo on my lower back of a cabin and some kids by a fire with a little lake nearby, and they can do a bunch of activities.
Is that a camp stamp?
I guess so. I guess that is what it is.
Also, I'm realizing now that this podcast is public, and so that's another selling point for you to listen to Action Boys, is because we're behind the paywall, people's names are used in story. No, I'm just kidding.
I mean, we're frequently
we out,
asking.
We out all closeted actors on
actually, for Pride Month. For Pride Month.
For Pride Month. For Pride Month. yeah. So, where are you, liberals?
Yeah, come listen to our podcast. Please.
Why aren't you supporting us?
Well, that's sort of like the meta thing I learned this over 2016 through 2020, mm-hmm. watching these movies, is that I think part of the problem with society is that a lot of people, like our age or older, grew up on these movies that taught them like, but we have the wherewithal or the something, whatever we have that we can go.
All you those need are is a fun good guy movies. With a gun.
Yes. There's so much of like, bro, if you're alpha, chicks will fuck you. If you knock out the girl's boyfriend, she loves you. It's like so much movie logic is used. I just read a thing with Trump during the fucking protests outside the White House where they gassed those protesters to move him so he could do the photo op. Mm-hmm. I read a General Milley conversation where he was saying that he's like, Trump's saying, we got to get out there and crack some skulls. And it's like, dude, you're talking about you're the people who voted for, like, and he's saying crack some skulls, which is the most like Bosch fucking delivery of like knock on doors, crack some skulls. Then he starts saying the president is saying we have to show them power. We have to shoot them. And Milley says like, shooting American civilians for their right to protest. And he goes, I don't know, shoot them in the leg or something is Trump's pitch. And it's like, this is a dude who just is more oatmeal brain than anyone and watches Bloodsport, the highlights of Bloodsport weekly.
It's the logic behind a lot of the movies that we watch.
Yeah.
It's they're almost all black and white. You can save your neighborhood by killing the one really bad drug dealer and then everything will be okay.
Yeah. And
new guy will come and take his place. It's not a systemic problem that like has deep causes and it's super complicated. No, like you just throw one guy off the ledge of a fucking
that's the end of it.
Here's a factory.
Here's a good tentpole to figure out. How did you feel about internal affairs when you were 14 versus 34? As a kid, I had the strongest opinion about the rats in internal affairs fucking up these cops' jobs. And now as a grown-up, I'm like, everyone invest in the cops. Everyone should be keeping an eye on the fucking cops. We need more internal affairs than we need street
fucking
cops.
Fucking snitch.
Yeah. And I'm a kid who is like, I'm like, these motherfuckers, these cops can't even do their jobs. They can't even, that was a good shoot. You like defending police shootings in movies as a kid? Vibe has changed.
Well, that was something that I was interested in talking to you guys when we first all met and started talking, because it was like, it went beyond just kind of like, oh yeah, I kind of enjoyed watching these movies and didn't give them much thought beyond that. We spent a night together really breaking down the finer points of Predator and didn't seem to fatigue each other. And I was like, okay, maybe there's some commonalities going on here. And that's really what I got out of this podcast, I think, so far, is that if you could talk about John Matrix beyond just, you know, the 20 minutes of highlights from Commando, if you can go 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 hours, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Matrix.
You know, talk
one
about
thing
him.
I learned from these movies is it doesn't matter if you're attractive or not, or really in that good a shape. If you're enough of a tough guy cop and you walk into any room, all the women will check you out.
Oh yeah, if the movie's about you, they will, and they'll make audible noises.
The best one is it Raw Deal, where she takes off his shirt while he's passed out to like
Joey Brenner,
and then sees his giant tits and is like, uh-huh. And it's like the least, like it's a giant hairless set of C cups just sticking out of his shirt.
I mean, Arnold's in an interesting shape in that movie. Yeah.
He's very big in that one. Like his pecs are too big.
Yeah. Like, and that
later
chest,
on,
maybe.
He slimmed down a little bit to look better on camera out of the bodybuilder shape. He was still in sort of Mr. Olympia shape and that one, Raw Deal.
Yeah. Red Heat is he's pretty leanin', but Raw Deal. Yeah.
Raw Deal, he's Kaminsky / Joey P. Brenner.
Yeah. And it's
the Kaminsky
like,
method is a prequel. It's about how he got in this position.
I think that's his name, right?
That sounds right.
Kaminsky, yeah.
It's some kind of
You're no longer Kaminsky.
Speaking of Kaminsky,
the Austrian cop.
Kathleen Turner's on this season of Kaminsky.
Yeah.
With Michael Douglas. The fucking return to form.
Well, they did some other, because they did War of the Roses, and did they do one more after that, too?
I thought they fell apart after two.
No, she ultimately came around on two. The story was we're speaking about Romancing the Stone.
Controversial choice that we covered on the podcast. A lot of our listeners hated it.
Yes,
I'm surprised
strange.
We're bringing it up.
It's a highly enjoyable movie. But anyway, they didn't have the best working relationship. And then he wanted her to come back for Jewel of the Nile, the sequel. It was a little bit of a ripoff sequel, which they did in those times. Zemeckis wasn't coming back. He didn't hire the same writer, Diane Thomas, who was this great kind of wunderkind writer that wrote the first one. And the script kind of sucked. And he had to litigate to get Kathleen Turner. Now, he would have legislated if he could, but he didn't have that power. He had to litigate to get her to come back on and do the shitty movie, which she didn't want to do. And and then their relationship suffered a little bit, but I think they're okay. They were okay.
Shout out
after
Tammy
that.
Sager, who told that story that Stanger is now passing it off like it's information he picked up.
Did she?
She gave us some information, but no, we were talking about some of this stuff.
But did she? I didn't know if she didn't want to have her name shouted out. That's the only reason. Did she post it anonymously, or did she? I don't know. It was from Tammy. That's how he learned.
Well, you know what? We're outing her.
Former she guest did, of the podcast, Tammy Sager, the Pens episode.
She did Kathleen Turner did monologues at ASCAT and told her the fucking story, which is pretty cool.
Dream.
Yeah.
Dream to be listening to raspy Kathleen Turner and trying to find a good game in one of her stories.
But hopefully Michael Douglas, hopefully paid her what she deserved and fucking, said his sorries.
Talk to her husband about like the best cunnilingus methods.
The Kaminsky method is the best Kaminsky cunnilingus method.
The real Kaminsky method.
He learned it
well,
from Raw Deal.
Well, he's not
Deal.
On the show anymore, right?
Oh, is he gone from the show?
I think he's gone from the show.
No, he's on. I saw him on a billboard together.
Oh, is
both
he?
Of
All
them.
Right.
Unless it's
I don't
just
know.
Like,
I don't watch it. I don't want to spoil.
You don't
shit
watch
for
it.
This
Dude,
is the most
rabbit
talked about.
I know
it. This.
This
is so
I know this show has a huge Kaminsky method overlap.
I gotta say, I love anything Chuck Lorre puts his hands on. I fucking love anything that wizard puts his fucking hands.
Well, I
on.
Laughed my fucking ass off at the end of Two and a Half Men when he shows up, and he's like winning.
Oh man,
that shit blew my mind.
He makes me laugh, man.
Speaking of raw heat, Charlie Sheen,
raw dog heat,
raw dog heat. Wouldn't want the raw heat from old Chucky Sheen, from old Chuck Estevez.
He's in the, I brought this up before, but he's in these commercials for, I don't even know, they're for like loans or banking or something, where he's with his dad, and clearly they just wanted his dad, Martin Sheen.
Yeah.
And like, he must have been like, well, you got to have Charlie in it too. He needs some work.
He's only had 90 episodes of Anger Management, and all that money is gone.
How? And you were saying that Rogers, he looks like a true gargoyle at this point, right? I mean, it's...
Yeah, he's a pretty scary looking guy now, but he went through a lot, you know?
You think you had a bad 2020? You know, he might have had tougher years than you.
At least you had access to tiger blood the entire fucking pandemic.
Tiger blood? What'd you say?
Is that what he was into? Right? Didn't he talk about tiger blood?
Yeah, he's got tiger blood running in his veins. Yes,
something to do with helper T cells or something. But we don't know specifically what. Something I learned from action movies is even if you speak with an accent, you still can be American and from America. And
you can be beyond from America. You can be as American as apple pie.
Right.
And maybe the most patriotic person in the country.
And you can have this accent and no one will speak of it and mention it, and there'll be no...
People will be blinded to it. There will be no bias. There will be no questions. No one will think of you as a foreigner, an immigrant. Yeah. That doesn't exist in the world of action movies.
Not even just mild curiosity. Like, oh,
if you're the lead.
If you're the lead. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And if you have an accent and you're just a smaller guy, you're getting fucking the shit.
If you're not the lead and you have an accent, you're probably a bad guy. You're either a terrorist or you are going to be killed.
You're a street gang. Depending on your race, you are a bad guy of certain distinct.
I guess if you're a white guy with an accent, you're super American. If you're not, you're either going to
get the fuck out of this country.
Yeah, you're gonna get brutalized in these movies.
The idea that
most of
these
movies, we should bring it up. Most of the movies we cover are extremely problematic. They're almost all 40 years old. They haven't all aged well in many ways. In some ways, they have.
Right.
Yeah. They're so weirdly right. Movies were so right wing, or the right wing talking points. Yeah, became action movie talking points where it's like, it's bare arms, keep the crime off the streets, like all this, like, you know, money, whatever it takes to get the bad guy, like all this, like, if the law is wrong, the soft bullshit. If there's so much anti, like, vegetarian shit, like the action,
like, yeah, the fucking liberal courts. If I'm just being letting the criminals back out again. Yeah, meanwhile, in the real world, the fucking whole prison system was becoming industrialized.
If I'm being less Hollywood cynical, but maybe even more sad, it's like these movies were fantasies, and then the right just grabbed onto the ideologies.
Made the fantasies real.
It made the fantasy like, hey, this is people kind
of the revolving door of the prison system.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, these are guys watching Vietnam movies and being like, yes, those were the glory days when we crushed it in Vietnam.
All we needed was three guys with machetes and RPGs, and we could have won Nam.
Yeah.
All we needed is one 45-year-old Dr. Zaius with two Uzis and jean shirt and pants
fucking
on.
Denim, karate denim.
Well, and the most striking arc for mainstream movies is the Rambo one, where it's like the first one went from being this sad take on PTSD and this, you know, this war that we shouldn't have been in.
A critique of coming back.
Yeah,
to,
our treatment.
You know what? Actually, if we just threw him back in there, we would have won this fucking thing.
As a matter of fact, our treatment of vets in one. Yeah,
you know what? He's like, right. Let's not give him a job. Let's send him back to war.
Yeah. So
all we needed was Rambo, Lee Marvin, and Chuck Norris, and we could have fucking won Vietnam.
Rambo's actually really... is a good point, because then the third one is like helping terrorists by accident. Mm-hmm. Like, it really does follow America's belief system.
In the most
recent one, he just goes to Mexico and kills a bunch of Mexicans.
A lot of people are, you know, saying it's the best one.
A lot of people
want
to see John Rambo kill more Americans. You know. A lot of people want to see John Rambo drive. You know,
Rambo's
truck.
Actually flying the plane.
It would be revealed at the end he was a good guy, but
Rambo's actually going back in time. He's going to get on that plane.
And stop it?
No, it needs it to happen.
Needs what? Match. He's getting on. Rambo's got to get on 93 and make sure it happens.
You can't let
United 93 hit the ground.
He's got to make one quick stop.
Rambo is actually on United 93.
You're going to use
it out now. Right now, we're calling it Rambo 93.
You're going to use the time machine and make one quick stop. You can't let Mick die.
Oh, wow. Rocky's in it also?
So, yeah, we're bringing in Rocky. And
I'll be playing Mick and Rocky.
What, my place stink? What about my prime?
This is Rambo.
All right, Rambo had a prime. What about Rambo's prime?
I can't use his bow with these big soft gloves on.
All right, Rock, take the fucking gloves off and just shoot the bow. You're a busy guy, so stop thinking about what to wear and just embrace the radically efficient Mack Weldon Daily Wear System. The Daily Wear System is a selection of clothes rooted in smart design, made with performance fabrics, and built to work together. From breathable t-shirts and polos to stylish button-ups and shorts, underwear and beyond, Mack Weldon makes it easy for you to dress for work, leisure, and play, or wherever the summer takes you. My father-in-law, my mother-in-law's husband, my stepfather-in-law, whatever you want to call him, he came out to visit finally once restrictions were lifted and everyone was vaxxed up, and he wore all Mack Weldon using promo code Mighty, and I was so proud of him. I guess my mother-in-law got them for him as gifts, but he looked so stylish in his Mack Weldon pants and Mack Weldon shirt. He said they're very comfortable to fly in because they fit well and are lightweight and breathable. Which is some of my favorite things about the Mack Weldon products. I'm a diehard Mack Weldon underwear wearer for those same reasons. I find that they are moisture wicking and breathable in the summer, which is important. So now I'm able to focus on things that are important to me because I don't have to be stressed about my underwear being destroyed on a long walk around the neighborhood. These clothes are also designed to work together. So, for example, the one they give me here is the Ultimate Lazy Sunday. You wear their Ace sweatshorts, modern tailoring, and they pair perfectly with ultra soft, ultra upgraded Pima tees. Now, I can definitely vouch for how comfortable the sweatshorts are and how comfortable the shirt is. I just haven't rocked them together. So now I'm inspired. So buy some time this summer with the Mack Weldon Daily Wear System. For 20% off your first order, visit mackweldon.com/hi and enter promo code HI. That's mackweldon, mackweldon.com/hi, promo code HI for 20% off. Mack Weldon, radically efficient wardrobes. Tired of getting killed by daily fantasy sports experts? Well, don't play experts. Play the house with Stat Hero, okay? We're talking about Stat Hero. It's the first ever daily fantasy sports book that puts you, the player, in control and within winning reach. Here's how it works. Stat Hero shows you their lineups and dares you to beat them. It's you versus the house in a head-to-head fantasy matchup. You name your stakes and winner take all. And you have the advantage. Stat Hero is showing you their lineups ahead of time. No one else does that. So for me, I'm tired of playing against people who are just, you know, just like playing a first-person shooter. Some people have been encamped in there all day long, and they are very good, and they are too good at the game and have too much research. So sometimes it's fun to play campaign mode, and that's the way I look at Stat Hero, is I'd rather play against the house than play against, you know, you definitely increase your odds of not getting snaked by some person who's got like crazy outside experience or something like that. So you're in total control. Stat Hero is DFS the way it was meant to be. 1v1. Play Stat Hero now and change the odds. Go to stathero.com/mighty, sign up for free, and right now you can get 3x back on your first play. They're giving you a 300% match. That's unheard of. Go to stathero.com/mighty. stathero.com/mighty. What about situations that feel like, has this happened to you guys? In real life, you're just like in a store or whatever, you're in the corner and you're not paying attention. You're in a market, you're grabbing some chlorophyll or whatever, and you look up and two people are like walking sort of at the same pace towards you, and you just are immediately like ambush. Like, I would say once a month, I'm like, this is the setup to an amp. Like, this could easily be an ambush, or this is easily these two guys are going to, like, you're like, they're boxing me in. One guy's following me. One guy's trying to get me to make a left up there. And there's like no connection whatsoever. Am I just describing being high in public, by the way?
Yeah, I don't
no,
feel
I
that.
I mean, yet. Once a month is small. I mean, for me, that's every day. And I don't think it's in my head. I think it's and, really happening.
And that's why you can't get your concealed carry permit, right? Mm-hmm.
You always blow it.
There's always, there's workarounds.
Gabrus,
I just print my guns up now.
3D print them?
Yeah, I just print them up. No, do they have to be 2D? 3D?
Definitely helps.
What's
but the
a 3D
paper
printer?
Cuts are a bitch.
A lot of folding.
No. Yeah, you can print them up now. You print them, you fold them. It's
get the good paper. Treat yourself.
I'm worried to bring them to the range because I don't want like people to know, but. Yeah, you get the photo paper and it looks really sharp.
I am duck hunting with my paper gun. I was worried about you being out of breath. I can't do his voice. I was trying to do Malkovich. But,
you're trying to do Frank Poole? Was that his name?
Sounds
he's
right.
Assassin from
no,
In the Line
2001.
Of Fire.
Yeah.
In the Line of Fire.
What the fuck is his name? What Frank, is Malkovich's name?
Frank
is maybe
Frank
Clint's
is Clint
name.
Eastwood.
Yeah.
I'm worried about you, Frank.
That's
I am stronger. I'm faster. I'm stronger.
Because we understand.
Mitch Leary. And it's
Mitch
Frank
Leary.
Horrigan.
Frank Horrigan. Yes, that's a great action movie name.
Well, there's something you learn from action movies, too, is that there is a certain protagonist name that works. Mm. And
they
it's
all got a
be...
little magic to them. what was Sudden Death?
Darren McCord.
Darren McCord.
And
Darren McCord.
Gino Foligno.
I was going to say.
Why would you ever have, that's like my.
I love you.
Dr. Megorium.
Gino Foligno.
Like, why would you pick that? Why would you write? Why would you?
And then my character Gino. What do you want his last name to be? I don't know. Foligno. Gino Foligno. And they're like, all right, you got it. I was gonna say, Gabrus, I don't quite share the same. Thinking somebody's gonna pull an Uzi on me, or that, or like watching people walk in step. But I did when I would watch them, and still to this day. I can't help but put myself into the movie and think, particularly we've talked about it a lot, about the underwater scenes. Would I be able to hold my breath? As a kid, I would hold my breath along with the movie to see if I would survive that scenario.
Until you nearly died watching The Little Mermaid, right?
Yeah.
And your dad had to give you CPR and bring you back.
Yeah, and well, then my parents...
Your stepdad gave you CPR and it turned into a whole different thing.
Whole different thing. The patch on that for my parents, the people that were raising me at the time is that these are, mythical creatures. And so I was like, okay, well, so I could continue to watch the movie without passing out. But I'm always also fascinated by the grip strength too. And then, being able to hold and then pull somebody else up.
Which would like destroy your lower back and everything else.
It would. It was also probably why I was so affected by Cliffhanger. When he doesn't pull it off in the opening sequence.
Yeah, which is probably the more realistic thing to happen. Meanwhile,
absolutely.
In every movie we watch, it's like a guy hanging from like a chain link fence off the side of a cliff, throwing his like the atomic bomb and a woman onto the cliff so they could stand and shit.
Although Cliffhanger, they do kind of make it the girl's fault. Just reach up for Cliffhanger.
Yeah, it's not his fault. What's his name in Cliffhanger?
It's Jake something. He's a Colorado guy. He's just a normal Colorado guy.
I can't. Don't let her go, man.
Normal Colorado guy with a normal Colorado accent. Gabe Walker. Colorado.
Oh, it's Gabe. It's Gabe.
Gabe Walker.
Yeah.
Gabe.
Hey, how you doing? I'm Gabe. I'm just out here in Colorado.
Because it's Walker and Tucker, remember? Because the other guy is, what's his name? Michael Rooker is Tucker.
Michael Rooker.
So it's
Rooker
Walker and Tucker.
Sly as...
I spent my entire life climbing the mountains of Colorado. I'm just Gabe Walker. I spent my entire life, you know, climbing the mountains.
And Walker, give me your shirt and jacket. You're going to be shirtless.
What do you mean? I didn't have time to train.
Most of these guys wind up without a shirt on for large periods of the movie.
Oh, hell, I think part of my comfort level with being shirtless might be from how many movies I grew up where the men in the movies just don't have shirts on. And same goes for once they don't have the bodies anymore. You still see it sometimes.
You still leave it off.
I thought like after like a small helicopter accident that like your shirt would be blown off in certain areas to kind of showcase your 50-year-old physique.
I always thought that was a fact.
I thought that was a fact. Like you get in a
I thought like when you get into a bad accident, your chest is bloody in certain spots, but also oiled up.
Yeah.
To and like make
and
whatever
it's only
you
the
got.
Seams burst on your shirt, so now you have just sort of like a weird Burning Man outfit on. Stenger, something you said when he's like, Gabe, give me your shirt. Sly, give me your shirt. Imagine putting on Sylvester Stallone's shirt. It would be like a medium in the chest length, and then like the arms would have to be like 40 inches around. Like the cut of like a well-fitting Stallone shirt must be insane.
Like a blouse.
Yeah, well, it's got to be like the waist size blouse. Is like this big, the lats are this big, the arms are enormous.
The later into his career, the fits got more and more strange too. Like what he used to just like Rocky III, he's just wearing tight stuff and looks great. But as they went on, like you start getting into the special. And that kind of shit, like it is, you know, get Carter, you don't know what the fuck
he's wearing.
Wearing
more and more bizarre tailored stuff. Yeah, it used to be just like a tank top.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the Rambo starts in just a black tank top and you're like, that looks fucking cool. And now in these movies he's got like fucking cowboy shirts that button in the back and shit. What the fuck? Mock neck kung fu shirts and shit.
And then you look at it, you're like, where is that weird shirt that Sly was wearing in that like one of his, you know, Escape Plan 3? And it's like $937, you know.
Yeah, the only guy
he
who's
wore
been
it
pretty
so he
consistent.
Could get it for free, probably. Yeah, yeah. He's like, whatever you wear
in
this movie.
Seagal is just, the style hasn't changed that much. It just gets bigger and bigger.
It's funny. He really does just dress like a grandma, like and like it in the beginning it was like pajama based and now it's fully muumuus and it's just like and it's just like he's just growing into he's gonna
it's
be wearing a,
little, a
fucking Coleman four-person tent.
It's a little muumuu. It's a little Sergeant Pepper's ish. It's a little
it's a little kung fu adjacent.
It's east meets west pajamas of both cultures.
It's Eastern promises and Western pajamas.
They got more and more structure too as he got more and more out of shape. Like he's got more, you know, firmer material
accoutrements
and stuff.
And shit. Yeah.
He's always played the clothes as an accoutrement to his actual physique. You know, his arms aren't that big, so we'd have these huge pirate like sleeves.
Yeah.
These parachute sleeves.
He would go tank top early on in a couple. He's in like tank top training in Hard to Kill, but it still looks noodly as fuck.
He wears a tank top in Under Siege.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's just a cook. Casey fucking Ryback. That's another thing we learned from action movies, which can't possibly be true. But if you were ever in the military, you are, no matter how briefly.
You're the biggest badass.
You're the most legendary. Oh, wait. You're telling me the guy who wipes the toilets
everyone
down on this train was a Marine in the 70s?
And no, well, and not only that, but like everyone else in the service knows
you. You have
legend.
A reputation and you were in special forces.
Wait, Ryback?
It's like how they all know
are you
cops
kidding me?
Too in precincts. It's always like, I'm not working with Stanger. It's like, how do you know Stanger? There's 2,000 cops here. It's not like we're police specials.
And not only do the other cops know Stanger, but like, all citizens know the hero cop of the town. That's made the news, and it's like headline news above the fold about Tango and Cash.
Wait, Stanger's on the fucking train. That guy's got more metal than Neil McCauley's backstory.
Not medals, but metal.
Metal.
He's... He's practically a robot at this point.
He's not a simple janitor. Everyone knows about him.
Yes.
Yeah, he's a cleaner,
simple.
All right.
But yeah, he's not he's a simple. Janitor. He lost that job. He's not smart enough for it. Oh, and if you're a listener of High and Mighty and a janitor, but not a listener of Action Boys, then you gotta fucking jump over to the Patreon.
It's the show for you.
Yeah, it's...
Yeah, if you're a long-haul trucker, a janitor... a
custodian, whatever term you prefer, any, maintenance worker.
Any, I don't know, member of the custodial arts, this podcast is for you. We didn't know that. We've discovered it since that a large percentage of our listenership are cleaning floors while they listen to the show.
Yeah, we call it the thin mop line, and it's for... We have an American flag that has a mop that runs through it. And it's for...
We have an American flag. It's all shredded to look like mop. Like the bottom
it's
of mop.
It's on the end of a flagpole.
It's on the end of a flagpole.
Dunk it.
You dunk it. And you
wring it out.
Swab and wring it out. It's all very just, patriotic.
It's in honor of all the janitors we lose every year. Okay.
Mopping on a thin line. Ooh.
I saw somewhere that the stats are that actually that being a pizza delivery person is more dangerous. There are more deaths in a pizza delivery jobs than there are in the police.
And it's, is it because of so much driving?
Yeah.
Is that,
I think they're just on the road too much. Like you're just increasing your stats, or increasing your chances to have one of the classic ways to go in this country.
Plus, you always got Ninja Turtles that are trying to get
trying
you to
steal. And let's not
they want you to be
forget
late.
Annoyed.
Yeah. The Noid, no. I was listening to we talked about the Noid recently. He's back. I was listening to Doughboys. They said the Noid's back in another campaign.
He's back inside the head of the next
back
son
inside,
of Sam.
Like a new psycho is going to fucking take over a Domino's and then fucking blow his brains out because of this fucking Noid campaign.
We're so close. Like we've had non-Noid armed invasions of pizzeria. Non-Noid based armed invasions of pizzerias in this country in the last 5 years. Now we're bringing the Noid back? We're just fucking playing with
and
fire
and we did talk about it in an upcoming episode covering the Omega Man. We, of course, got into the return of the Noid,
the
controversy
of the guy
behind
named Noid.
The Noid.
I mean, you don't have to say, I mean, as soon as you said the Omega Man, they knew.
I'm sure these guys touch on Domino. I'm sure they gave a trigger warning that it's going to be a dude alone for most of the movie.
Most of the movie?
No.
Maybe
a
like
third of the
10
movie.
Minutes.
A minutes.
It's the premise of the movie, but he finds a ton of people very quickly. I gotta say, a thing I learned about action movies is and we talk about this a lot on the podcast, but just watching all these old movies, old meaning 70s, 80s, and 90s, some 60s stuff, but watching it, the shit I thought was bad then has retroactively been made so much, because like just so many movies have come out since then that rank below
or
it.
Or way shittier.
Yeah, and you're just like,
it's
if I like Fast Five, I should definitely like this movie. Like,
well, it used to be a lot harder to make a movie because it took so much effort, and it was a lot more prohibitive to get in there and do it because the equipment was so expensive and finding the people to do it. So even on lesser movies, they would get some great craftsmen in there working on it. And so, you know, their lesser offerings still had, you know, the same guy that was the DP for Lawrence of Arabia. So it does look good, you know? Yeah. Right. Versus now, it's like you could do it on your fucking iPhone. Hickory.
It's just easier. It's not necessarily better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not as much gets made.
Not as much gets made. Stuff is very repetitive. It feels like even more so, like,
and people like it. I mean, that's the big difference, is like now people's memories are short, so they don't give a fuck about
older stuff and defend bad stuff now. People didn't as much back, like the bad stuff got trashed and then put in the garbage just to be championed years later. Now we like our garbage and we'll defend it fucking tooth and nail.
Now there's something for everything that comes out is somebody's favorite bullshit, even if it is just like, how did you fall in love with this thing? It came out a week ago and it sucks. And it's like, this movie means everything to me. You're like, oh, fuck, man. Okay.
I do feel like Lou Wasserman at MCA Universal when they first saw Easy Rider, and they're like, this sucks. Nobody's going to like it. And then everybody loved it. And then it completely flipped their world upside down. They're like, what the fuck? They didn't know what was. That's how like all these like weirdos got to make movies and all this weird shit happened. But that's how I feel like now with like when I see the stuff that's popular where I'm just like, wow, I don't know anything anymore.
It's like Don Draper listening to the Beatles.
Yeah. Great metaphor. I think that a lot too, Stan, because I'm like, oh, I don't want this movie to do really well when it comes out, because they're going to make more like it, and it's not, and I don't like this. And then a movie comes out that's kind of like something that it's not even great, but it's like more in the direction you like, and you're like, I want to champion this, and people are like, I'd rather watch Loki.
Nah.
And you're
maybe I'll see it.
But here's because the fear that I have, because I'm on the older side, it's not like I'm a young person and I'm saying like, I don't like this shit and I get to decide in the future. It's done for me. Fine. But I will say the thing that I have on my side is it is mostly the establishment stuff. It's not like I'm looking at like the wild free thinkers and what they're coming up with. It's like, I'm looking at like what like fucking, you know, the think tanks at Disney are coming up with and being like, not for me. So,
There's clearly people are making good and we'll find them eventually, or, you know, you'll get to watching all of the international cinema that came out in 2020 or something, like, and find a few movies that aren't fucking Marvel based and that you can dig into and enjoy.
But I mean, I am wrong. People love those, and those are what's popular. So I can't, you know, I mean, that's
not enough quicksand in movies, in my opinion.
True, baby. True. Go.
Go.
Quicksand, quagmires, sinkholes.
Big. Mm-hmm. Quicksand's big. Swinging on things is big. Like, that's always, that's from decades and decades ago, but still, like,
swinging on.
We don't really have malls to even drive a car through anymore.
No. Right.
Yeah.
Now we just drive a car through a warehouse and then green screen the mall in after the fact.
Mm. We drive it through like a shipping warehouse in Amazon and then green screen the mall in. And it's still kind of technically where people shop, right?
Yeah. Drive through an Amazon warehouse trying to avoid the workers who are trying to commit suicide from being treated like absolute fucking shit by a billionaire.
Yeah, you're trying to fucking do a dramatic scene where you're driving through this warehouse and people are jumping in front of your 4x4.
People trying to jump in your car to kill themselves.
Yeah. Hit me
next,
please.
I can't take it anymore.
If you get killed on site, your family gets an extra $8.
I can't piss in this fucking jug anymore because I'm, you know, need to pack up this 4-cent item that is cost nothing to ship for some reason. How does that work? To where it's like you can literally like, or it's like a piece of paper that costs $1, and it's like you're shipping it across the United States. It costs nothing. It's an interesting.
It makes no sense. It's just on a plane or on a truck, and it's costing gas and money and all that.
I'm opening it. It's packed in bags and all that shit. And I like pull out my little
like
fucking
inflatable bags, and you pull out your fucking
my pack of Post-its. I ordered, you know, a 4-pack of Post-its. I'm like, all right, good. I'm glad it cost $80 to ship this to me, and I paid nothing for it. And somebody's desperate and gonna die because of it.
It's getting subsidized like 11 different fucking ways.
What about where Amazon just says you're like, this is wrong, and they're like,
Yeah, we'll give you the refund. Just don't even send it.
It's fine. Yeah. That's yours, dude. What, you want something else for free?
I tried to buy a book on Amazon. It was a first edition book. And so I'm trying to track down this first edition. I find it on eBay. And so I'm like, okay, that makes sense. I got to pay like a premium of it because it's like they don't make this edition anymore. So I pay it to the guy, and then he sends me just a new one as a gift on Amazon. And so he's just like scamming people by saying like, here's a first edition book, and then you buy it. And then he finds the cheapest one on Amazon, sends it to you as a gift. I'm like, hey, man, I could have just bought this myself. This is not what I fucking wanted. He's like, all right. And then we had to do a complicated extra step of like him sending me his Amazon gift receipt so I could return it to Amazon and not him. So he would get the refund back. And then he refunded me. And there's like nothing you can do. There's no like... Good luck trying to fight City Hall on that shit and explain that to eBay.
Here's an awful thing I found
out. I hope you do get that first edition of Sphere, though. The great Michael Crichton book.
I want to finish it, and I can only read it on first edition.
I hear they took out all the racial stuff in the second edition, so I got to see how they go ham down at the bottom of the sea in Sphere. I forgot what I was gonna say.
Do you know, like, Sphere, like, has, like, is permanently imprinted on my brain. My dad, when I was a kid, got Sphere when it came out. And so he starts Sphere. The beginning of Sphere is incredible. So we're at the dinner table, and he's describing me the book. And he would do this every once in a while when he was reading a new, like, horror science fiction
you'd be
book.
Into
yeah so he would be like they find the these guys find a spaceship at the bottom of the ocean. It's like 3,000 years old, and he's going and so I'm on the edge of my seat where he made it like maybe 50 pages into the book, and then the book sucks, so he stopped reading it, never picked it up again. And so for a decade I was like, one of these days I gotta read Sphere and find out what happened. And it was a crushing disappointment because the book is total dog shit. Or even just see the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. I watched the movie like a year ago. Like I watched that one and The Core like back to back. I was like, what were all the other bad sci-fi movies that were out around that time? Ooh.
They're all like bad versions of Solaris where it's like all like in your head.
Right. Sharon Stone's the lead of Sphere.
Yeah.
Yeah,
how she's good short in it hair. Though, right?
She's good. Yeah,
yeah.
I remember the and
the problem
Dustin
is
Hoffman
it with the
it.
Acting.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's like, and it loses juice once you're like, it's outside of the base, and it's just like now you're in like you're watching people in a room hear stuff in a that's out in the ocean. It's not that scary anymore.
Sphere just it's like I remember watching and my buddy was like, did you wish you got like some version of like, I wish they would have given me the fucking money back or my like 2 hours back. But like the whole movie is about like memories and like getting that back and like wiping shit out of your memory. Dustin Hoffman, Samuel Jackson.
Oh, that's
it's
right.
An all-star
yeah,
cast.
Cause it's hot off of Jurassic Park. So Crichton was getting all his shit, you know,
Peter Coyote.
Yeah.
Of course this from E.T.
Yeah. And Legend of Billie Jean. Sphere, more like flat circle, right?
Time is a flat circle.
All right, all right, all right.
Green light.
Little baby Levi.
Just to jump back to Amazon for a second, some shit if they see something that's super easy and very popular on Amazon selling a shit ton, Amazon starts making it and charging less. Like, just to beat out, like, someone's like, oh, everyone's buying these hangers from this company. Everyone loves these hangers. All right, now Amazon makes the same hangers for 50 less cents or whatever, and everyone just buys it, and then that company just shuts down and dies.
Best-selling book. They just print up, like, a shittier version of that book.
Amazon yeah. choice, man. You can get your own fucking tripod.
Yeah. I know. I definitely have an Amazon brand tripod for my
iPhone. I mean, I'm surprised
iPhone.
People are like, this is a new thing. Cause isn't that what like CVS and Rite Aid were doing? Just like making their generic version of all the shit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. People,
it's like.
Amazon does make a good dildo, though.
Fair. Hard to argue against that.
I'm mad that it's called Amazon Choice or whatever it is. And it's not like fucking Bezos' own. They should have had a little fun with it because that's like what they do at like
Farmer Bezos.
Yeah, Farmer Bezos presents fucking tater tots or whatever.
And they got to do like a caricature where he's fucking, you know, post TRT, where he's jacked, you know, where he's on the juice, he's buff.
Did you get the Amazon dildo that has Bezos's head as the tip?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's the one. That's
feels
the one
great.
You want.
Feels great. No complaints.
And it's got a size medium, like express tip, for men like, shirt on it.
Start small.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Don't rush into it, especially if you go with the Bezos head dildo.
Yeah, start with mini Bezos if you can. The mini vibrating Bezos, I highly recommend. And then if you want to upgrade to gaping Bezos,
well, the mini's the mini is actual size. It's his actual size. You know? So okay, it does look like a little statue of him, or like a real size statue of him. But yeah, that's your safest bet to get started. And then after that, have fun, you know?
Imagine like an action movie, someone just puts you in a room and goes, last one standing lives, locks the door behind you, and in the room is you, Bezos, Mark Zuckerberg, and Bill Gates. How fucking funny. Just teeing
I'm taking out three
soft billionaires. That would be such a fun thing.
Well, they're not like Zuckerberg and Bezos hunts. Are
Zuckerberg like
both,
throws spears.
They're
and
both
shit,
on the like. Juice and like like doing fucking weird workout shit.
Yeah, he definitely has like a Krav Maga instructor because he's like because they know about the fall of like.
I'm going after Zucker first.
Yeah, you gotta.
While you have the energy.
Well, I got he's the youngest. He's in probably decent shape, and I probably dislike him the most.
Yeah.
And then you can
save Bill for last, and I'm going to fuck him.
Once you take him out, you could fucking rip his leg off and then use his femur as a weapon to kill everybody else.
Bitch. Break Bill Gates' nose with fucking
shaft his nose into his brain. That was something my dad told me. You could shaft somebody's nose into their brain, kill them instantly.
Oh, yeah. A palm strike to the nose. Goes that's from a movie too.
Throat, nose straight into the brain. Yeah. Where you just hit him in the throat, that'll kill him. Break their windpipe.
He does it in Con Air. That's how he gets thrown in jail. That's because he's got these
Cameron Poe
that are, you know. He just got back from the war. He's 52 years old. He's a young soldier.
He's got shoulder. That's when he gets out of jail. But yeah, he looks so great. Army Ranger, darling. Put the bear down.
Put the bunny down.
A bunny. It's a
deer
bunny.
Deer hummingbird, tie a yellow ribbon around the oak tree. Your boy's coming home forever. He's got to get a, I mean, that like shaft the nose into a brain. What was another fight thing that you learned from an action movie, Gabrus, that you thought you could do or wanted to do?
Well, something I remember. Classic Big John story. Big John, a recurring character on the Action Boys podcast as well, referring to my dad, of course. He said the axe handle, he sprained like six of his fingers doing that to some dude's back in a street fight.
It's a very specific number. He counted all of, how many are injured here? One, two, one whole hand and another finger on the other hand.
Whatever he said, but he was like, don't ever do that, Johnny. If you have to, just make two fists. Yeah, like, you know, no one's ever doing flying axe handles in the street. That's actually the thing that I learned that you learn right away is that a street fight is so much more chaotic, so much faster, and like one real hit in the face usually ends them.
I always would see Van Damme do a lot with a headbutt, and I was thinking like, wow, both hands, being held down at your side by somebody. He did three headbutts. He would go side, and then straight forward with that. Yeah. And I thought, wow, that's something to consider, you know. But I don't know how much damage you could do on one of those side blows, you know.
You with have to hit them in the nose. Otherwise, it hurts. Like if you do a headbutt to anywhere but the person's nose, like if you are an inch lower and hit their teeth or an inch higher and hit their head, you're fucked. Like that hurts so bad.
Sweet lovemaking.
Sweet lovemaking.
Van Damme's real chatty now. I highly recommend reading about the making of Street Fighter, the movie.
Recent Action Boys episode.
Mm-hmm. He, of course, had an affair
with Kylie Minogue.
And he described it as,
how could you not? She's there. She's beautiful. We enjoy sweet kiss, beautiful lovemaking. I show her my Thailand.
Simpatico.
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 He has like 8 sentences about the affair, and 4 of the sentences are 1 word long. They're like, beautiful lovemaking, period. Simpatico, period.
Complete thoughts.
Simpatico.
Well, we're steeped in these guys now. Well, that's going back to what you said something earlier, Stang. We're talking about action movies. You're like, yeah, a lot of people watch an Arnold movie, like Arnold. I'm a big Arnold fan. But we were guys who, like, I read everything Arnold did. I bought every Muscle and Fitness that he was on the cover of. I saw it, like, I know for a fact you've seen, like, every couch appearance on a late show he's ever done. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, I'm obsessed. I like, want to be him more, even, like, as much as I want to watch him in movies, there's something about me that I want to be him. Like, I'm so, like, I was so steeped in these guys for so long and without irony for so long, then with irony for a while, and now weirdly again without irony. Like, where I'm like, these guys are fucking legends. Like,
he had such great control of the couch for not having the best anecdotes, but being so confident out there. He got better as time went on. But early on, when he would do Letterman, Letterman was, you know, famously like a crank and would try to like lay into people. And when Arnold was getting his citizenship, they're going to quiz him on some questions. And like Arnold didn't know the question. And Arnold just quickly takes control back of the interview. You know, they ask him some easy question about senators or something. He said, listen, that doesn't matter. You know, what's most important, you know, because he's like going to play the game and then he immediately can't answer the question.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. But there's no panic at all. There's no fear. It's like everything's fine. Listen, it doesn't matter what you're asking because you're going to be lucky that I'm here.
And Arnold does frequently come into our show.
Yes.
He actually
makes a lot of appearances.
He actually makes a lot of guest appearances. So we get a lot of famous stars that you would recognize actually there, not us doing the voices. They actually show up. John's
they
dead
are actually
dad.
There, but we should say if you do tune in and you don't get a celebrity, that is not grounds for a refund. We should say we had a lot of people. But we do have a lot of celebrity stop by.
A lot of celebrities stop by, guys who were actually in these movies or know a lot about them. Arnold,
Chuck. Seagal.
Seagal's
been on a couple
shows
of times.
Up. John's dead dad shows up.
Sly.
Sly, of course.
Gwildor, a character from Masters of the Universe.
Yeah, Charles Bronson.
Yoda frequently comes up.
Yoda. Gwildor, the Orko proxy from Masters of the Universe.
Bishop, Majestic, Death Wish, like all the all those three distinct different characters.
Cold Iron from Rotor. A lot of your favorite actors.
Sam Hell.
Put your blouse on. Mm-hmm.
Sam Hell.
Roddy
Sam
might
Elliot
have
shows
the most
up.
References because of he got that fucking They Live No, which really fucking entered the lexicon for a while. The lexicon the same 5 things the 3 of us say over and over again.
Lord Humongous from Road Warrior. I'm sure people will be, you know, everybody at home.
Walk away.
Screaming.
Sly Stallone, celery guy.
from The Source.
The Source. The Originator.
A lot of your favorite movie stars. Sly Stallone, celery guru. Who else shows up?
Who's the singer of Betty Davis's Eyes?
Kim Carnes.
Kim Carnes.
We can't get her on, but we would love to get her.
We're dying to get Kim Carnes on the If you have a connection to Kim Carnes, we could really use her on Action Boys.
Somebody that knows her, somebody in her camp, press agent, rep.
The woman who designed her camp stamp, whatever, anyone we can find.
Powers Booth, Christian Slater. All your favorite actors.
Yeah, I'm loving the fucking dates and the datedness of these characters. We do have Pee Wee Herman. We do have
Pee Wee Herman has showed up.
There's some
Hugh
like
Grant. The Talk Boy FX commercial spokesperson has been in about a dozen stop by.
Hugh
a dozen
Grant
times.
After he got caught hiring a sex worker
with Divine Brown. Yes.
Mr. T, less so lately.
Beastmaster.
There's some woman that's maybe like a sophomore in college that's a high and mighty listener that was not interested until Rogers mentioned Powers Booth. And then she's like, actually, I'm thinking maybe I'll...
I was like, stops the car, pulls
the
it
senator
over.
The senator from Sudden Death?
The vice principal.
Oh, the vice president.
No, he's
right?
The assassin. The vice principal, or the vice president. The vice might as well be.
Powers Booth walks in as the vice principal. Shoes on the other foot now, Darren McCord.
I'm your VP.
Squirted her.
I'm your VP.
Another thing we talk about a lot and we're sort of experts on is female ejaculation.
Just lost the sophomore.
Sophomore. All right, card. Back on the road.
Back on the road, fine.
We do talk about trends in pornography. That is true.
Yeah. There's judgment though. It's being examined. It's not just sincere enthusiasm about pornography. It's like, what is going on? Why is this popular? Why, maybe if I like something, why do I like that? What's happening there? And then also
classic men.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like the song. And so like we have a certain taste and we're older. So we're curious about what the kids are into.
We don't want to live an unexamined life. And right. I feel like there is, you know, we're...
Well, I'm not going to pretend I don't watch pornography, and I don't believe anybody who says they don't. So it's just a fact of life at this point. So, I mean, we might as well have open dialogue about it.
Mm-hmm. It's out there.
Man, that would have been a much better topic for just three 40-year-old men talking
about. Oh, God.
Talking about pornography.
What do you
not
like
Not only
to
do we talk about
to.
Pornography, a close relative, we do talk about... probably 10 to 15 year old viral videos.
I heard the Action Boys are talking about pornography. That's my favorite subject.
Oh shit. See, we get all your favorite stars.
I'm trying to listen to the Action Boys.
Ask your dad to name their 10 favorite actors. Five of them pop up on our podcast. You yourself, sorry, no one can do a Channing Tatum impression. That's like still 10 years too old of a reference.
Yeah. Tatum's
Timothy
done.
Timothy Chalamet. Tatum.
Yeah, okay, there we go.
Yeah, there you go. That's tough. What a drip on that kid. Where's he get those giant pants, those blue pants from he's got? And
doesn't he seem like a human designed by Tim Burton? Like
he does. He seems like Chalamet. He seems like he's wearing snow pants a lot.
Tatum, who can Channing Tatum called him Tatum is so talking Tatum.
Talking Tatum.
Welcome back to Talking Tatum.
That's Scott Harmon's new podcast with Adam Scott.
Talking Tatum. We
you
rate him. You
Tatum
book
to
him.
Me.
You talk him. We rate him. Talk him Tatum with
White House down. Thoughts.
White House Down, great movie, but pales in comparison to the Fallen trilogy.
we're more Bannon. Oh, Bannon? What's his name?
Bannon. Mike Bannon.
Bannon. Mike Bannon.
Go back to fuckheadistan or wherever it is you're from. This movie came out in 2014.
From...
and it talks... It features Aaron Eckhart as the president of the United States of America shooting terrorists with a machine gun.
Another thing, but these guys who are the leads of these movies are... usually experts at everything.
Yes.
Not just like action movie stuff, but it is like other facets of life. Their way of doing things is the correct way.
Yeah. Not a day under 50, any of them, but not a gray hair in their head.
They can all run sub 4 minute miles. They're all absolute studs.
Painted bronze.
You spoke to something there, Ben. These guys... for some reason, the stars of these movies are such egomaniacs that they get enough control, and they're such, and it was from the time where you could be an egomaniac and have some sway. These guys just refuse to show any weakness or any vulnerability with these characters. And we're seeing it now with like with the Fast and the Furious movies. Marvel, everyone does have superpowers, but these guys used to be like, my character can't be hurt, outfooled. Mm-hmm. He's also the smartest person in the room. He also speaks languages. No matter
Come on, it's Bannon. He's part of the Secret Service.
You can get a very funny actor to be your co-star, but then demand that you have more jokes than the comedian that is you're playing off of.
Yeah.
Glimmer Man.
I'm actually the funny one.
Yeah. Glimmer Man, where Keenan Ivory Waynes is...
Keenan Ivory Waynes is the straight man.
He's completely unused because he's the fucking mega comedy.
Hot off of fucking In Living Color, like the funniest guy in America at that time. And all the joke lines go to Seagal.
He's a little country. I'm a little rock and roll.
Just to jump
I'm
back.
I'm rock.
Okay.
He's roll. London Has Fallen has Aaron Eckhart save fucking Mike Bannon's life by shooting a terrorist in the head with a pistol after he was supposed to be hiding in the closet. And then Mike Bannon turns to the president of the United States of America and says, "I was wondering when you were going to come out of the closet," and like laughs. And it's like played for a joke. It's like, you just watched the president of the United States of America murder someone, dude.
I'm not.
Well, I hope
Scotland.
After I have to shoot somebody to save a life, somebody makes a real fucking knee slapper.
Or a head
scratcher.
That
joke's been crushing since 79.
A knee slapper or a head scratcher?
Tit fucker or face fuck? Face grabber? Tit fucker?
Face hugger or a titty, titty fucker?
Aliens. Of course, we're talking about the...
Of course, we're talking about the famous movie Aliens.
Yeah, before they become chest bursters, out of the eggs, what are they? Are they face huggers, face fuckers?
Ass eaters. Titty fuckers. We don't know. It depends where they land, I guess.
Bush wranglers. We don't know.
Bushmasters.
Bushmasters, of course, another Michael Douglas reference.
An innuendous and movie reference.
Also, Bush Possum from Willow.
Right.
Is that what it was? A bush possum or a bush beaver?
Bush.
Might have been a bush beaver.
Bush beaver seems redundant.
Got yourself a little bit of bush beaver down there, huh?
Not in this day and age. I mean, nobody's got the hair anymore.
I know.
Yeah, we're all pubed in the Action Boys community, I believe.
Yeah,
Gabrus, are you fully pubed these days?
I'm not. I clip set. You know, I trim. I want
trim.
I want clip two all around, you know? So I do it. I do it. I practice it on my mom's pubis.
Your mom's pubis?
My mom's pubis. That's what I call my fupa.
Now, do you save the pubic hair you trim like Peter Bogdanovich's dad?
Give to kids to like make a wig out of that are like going through chemo?
I actually have alopecia of the face. This beard is all trimmed pubes.
Oh, wow. So you're
and my
Mike
chin
Nichols
is
had.
My ball sack. If you look closely, and I accidentally cut this off.
Yeah, this is the kind of facts you'll get. You will know that how Peter Bogdanovich's dad saved all his hair in a drawer. It's stuff we talk about on it. And how his younger brother, Anthony, was killed by when his mom dropped soup on him.
Kind of stuff we've all dealt with tragedies like that in our lives. I've lost two siblings due to soup accidents.
Kind of stuff that sticks with us and we'll share with you guys on the show.
Soup Nazis killed my ancestors in the soup Holocaust. No soup for them. No soup for them.
It's a real guy. It's based on a real guy.
It's really funny. He's a Nazi. Do you get it? maybe that's bad. We shouldn't have someone be a Nazi.
Wait, the soup Nazi's a real Nazi in that?
Yeah, he's
a white supremacist?
Yeah, he like rebranded.
Wow.
Yeah, he dropped the soup.
I thought he was just
strict.
Thought he was strict about
it
how
he... It turns out like it was a much better business decision to go full Nazi. He's making a fucking fortune.
Yeah, he launched his podcast.
He's making a little fortune in podcasting. He moved to Austin.
He's got a $20,000 a month Patreon.
He gave up the soup stuff and is just podcasting about right-wing shit.
All his episodes of Mr. Show are being scrubbed.
You don't have to have been at the January 6th insurrection to listen to our podcast, but it'll help you get in the head of a lot of our listeners. I don't even know what the fuck I'm talking about at this point. My wife
No, our listeners aren't that bad. I mean, we aren't afraid to end people's subscriptions, which we have done.
Yeah, and that's not financially sound on our part, but rather than have people like that sticking around, it's just...
Occasionally,
I do have somewhat of a temper, and... I am willing to fucking bite the hand that feeds me and kick people off
clean
of the podcast.
Off. Yeah.
We have had people kindly asked to leave when they get mad about us going into, you know, propaganda movies or Gaber saying defund the police. I finally had it when Gaber said defund. How dare you? Bye.
Guess I could never make it in Hollywood.
And it's not because I'm an absolute ugly asshole. It's because they're too liberal there.
Okay, it's not. I don't care what you've heard about my level of attractiveness, the level of shape I'm in, or my personality.
I'm a dumpy, ugly asshole, and I'll never make it in Hollywood because they're so libbed out over there.
I'm a dumpy, lumpy asshole.
He's a dumpy, lumpy asshole, baby. Ooh, crooning old blue eyes, old big eye, if you will.
Who else comes up on the show? Who are some other greatest hits?
Murphy. Dolph. Murphy from RoboCop.
RoboCop makes an appearance a time or two.
Dolph.
Dolph definitely He-Man. Shows up.
He-Man and Showdown in Little Tokyo and Ivan Drago, you name it.
We don't really talk about Brandon Lee. We do frequently talk about the size of his head, which is large. But
his Milner is a listener of the podcast. His old hat maker is, of course, his haberdasher listens to the pod. So we're constantly talking about his size 12 skull.
He might show up one of these days, but he hasn't yet. Maybe he'll defend himself again or tell us why he's got such a big head.
It's time, to make his leather space, jackets the afterlife, look normal on his body.
There are no barriers that will stop you from... becoming a guest on the show. Paul McCartney showed up.
We've had people from the movies and also the actors that played them in the movie somehow on the different episodes. We've had Mr. Majestic and Charles Bronson.
Yeah, reality and dimensions and space and time and all that, it's all blurred. I mean, it's tough to get a handle on, you know, when and where you are. The show's
people
not,
are constantly
I would say that-
making different call. Like, we get various alternate dimension versions of the scene from T2 where John Connor calls his stepmom asking about Wolfie, well, their dog, or rather the Terminator, T-800 calls.
The T-800 is trying to determine whether or not his step-parents are alive or dead. And so he's got to use a little cat and mouse situation too. But, I mean, listen, the show's not linear, I guess we should say. It's not linear, so you have to let go of that.
You can hop around. You don't have to start at episode one. You could just start with any.
I mean, it's worth telling them we do refer to IMDb trivia as the sauna, just to clear up any confusion right off the top.
Call the sauna. Earlier episodes, we talk about overhearing people speaking at the gym for IMDb. And we ran with that for a while, and then now it's just become what we've heard in the sauna.
And now we just say IMDb. According to IMDb, it's blank.
So we're talking over Zoom right now.
I'm trying not to look
Stanger
at Stanger.
Stanger is riding a bike. Do you have like pedals below the desk or what's going on?
No, you have to pee. You're just bobbing.
No. I was just like, I don't know why. I was just like, small earthquake over here in Valverde West.
You're Valverde North.
North?
Aren't you?
North. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So we record from Valverde,
currently digital.
It's currently remote. It's from different parts of the island of Valverde. Is it an island?
It's got to be. I've tattooed it on my bicep, so let's just say Valverde.
I've got it in my fucking lower back. Got Valverde written across my lower back. It's fucking beautiful.
In Latin.
I've got a electric guitar plugged into, I can't remember what it's called,
I don't know. Anyway.
Your amp?
Yeah, that's right.
You have an amp stamp? Is that what you
said? Yeah, sorry. Yeah. No, I actually have the plug going into my asshole.
Well, that's hot.
That I get.
I get. It's sexy and it's funny.
When you were talking about your lady stamp and the tramp stamp, I was assuming that the meatball was like rolling off your crack and falling down your hole.
You got it right.
That's tight.
And then does the other end go to like any kind of instrument on your like chest or arm or anything? Where does it like? Because like to me, it'd be funny if you have the plug from the amp wrap up like so the it plugs into your butt.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think it should weave around into like your front to a little like keyboard or something. And then you say, hey, let me play a little something. And you press the keys and then you fart.
Yeah. Well, you're pretty close. It's an accordion.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's even better. Yeah, yeah, that's tight.
So it's a little more of a forced air thing to kind of like really, you know, put a finer point on
makes
the
sense.
Joke.
It'd be a wind instrument of some kind.
Yeah.
Is it a wind instrument? I guess not. Yeah.
I mean, in a sense, it is because you're not creating the wind yourself. Well, I am in my situation, but this one is, you know, with an accordion, you're squeezing it to make wind, as opposed to blowing into it.
But is it wind instrument? Is wind instrument the word? That doesn't sound right. It's brass, right? Like, are we talking?
What is a wind instrument?
What is brass?
Brass is like the sax, trumpet, like.
Right, but is that a family of instrument?
The wind instrument seems like something like a ninja sect. It's like I studied under the wind instrument.
Wind instruments are like flutes, recorders.
They're not woodwinds? Is that something? Am I making up a word?
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, I don't know any of this shit. I'm not taking a stab at any of this stuff.
All right, a woodwind instrument is a thing. That I remember.
There is woodwinds, but there's also wind is just anything that like it's. I'm on my favorite search site, Pornhub.
What is a rusty trombone?
That's where someone licks your asshole while they jerk you off at the same time.
And is that considered a woodwind?
No, that's considered brass.
That's brass.
If you're doing that, you're winding.
Chuck Lorre. What a genius. Wind instrument, it's organ, clarinet, trumpet, flute, bagpipe, oboe, accordion. It has to do with a wind instrument is a musical instrument that contains some type of resonator in which a column of air is set into vibration by the player blowing into it.
I'm feeling good.
Yeah.
I'm feeling real good.
Yeah,
I think we got it, bro. We solved the wind instrument thing. So this has been Wind Instruments with the Action Boys on High and Mighty. I think we talked a lot about what we learned.
You should label it Wind Instruments, by the way.
Might as well. That'll bump up the SEO big time over
you'll get those clicks, man.
Yeah. Quick Ryan.
Quick headline from Smithsonian Magazine: to reduce COVID-19 risks in orchestras, move wind instruments to the sidelines.
Smart.
But I've been playing French horn for 6 years. I'm supposed to be front and center this year. It's my big chance to go to state.
Too bad.
Smithsonian Magazine.
Thank the plandemic.
The scandemic.
They fucked everything. My little girl was supposed to be playing the French horn. She's been waiting her whole goddamn life to be in the front row. And it's taken that away from her.
And this fake disease has killed my dad, my mom's husband, and all of my aunts and uncles. And I still can't be the French horn lead in the middle.
Now, I'm sorry you lost your family, but my little girl is playing front and center. End of discussion.
Dudes, thank you so much for coming on High and Mighty. Don't forget, this podcast is about half the length of our podcast, so we are doing fucking wonders. We crushed it. So happy to hang out with you guys again. Squeeze in a third record this week. Just another 90 minutes of us talking about the same fucking shit.
Just happy to be here doing wonders, man.
Thank you. Keep the wonders coming, baby.
Hey, you're welcome.
Get yourself a Plandemic Stampendic on your fucking lower back. I'll muscle a few more of these bad boys in before we're out of here.
I love you for it.
Do you guys have anything you want to plug before you get out of here?
No, I'm going to take off.
I'm out. Check out the Action Boys.
Okay. Well, thank you guys.
Check out the Action Boys, my guys.
Check out actionboys.biz for the Patreon. And we also have like 10 free episodes out now. So if you want to just whatever you're listening to this on, take out your phone, open whatever app you're listening to this on, search Action Boys, look for the free feed, Unlocked and Loaded. Fucking sign up, listen to a few free episodes, get a sniff, get hooked, and come crawling back to daddy.
It's the orgy on the side of the road. You don't want to look at it, but you can't look away. Mm-hmm. Your mom blowing your dad.
And then you realize it's your family.
Yeah.
And just so it's clear, we're not pitching you have to listen to the podcast. We're asking you to sign up for the Patreon.
Yeah, subscribe indefinitely.
Yeah, if you don't listen.
Fine.
Don't cancel your membership.
Please. Keep the juice running. Keep the juice running.
The juice is, for me, the action is the juice.
Keep the juice running like he's rushing for 2,000 yards for the Bills.
Well, you're right? AC right now, okay?
Keep the juice running if you did it.
You're AC, you're behind the wheel, everything's depending on you.
Just keep the juice running. You're Frank Drebin and your buddy Nordberg is in some hot water. You got to keep the juice running.
Yeah, if you're innocent, you're going to fucking, you know, go on a high speed, you know, escape with a friend and Mel Gibson's wig guy. Didn't Mel Gibson wear like a fake mustache and stuff? Remember that? To hide from the paparazzi? Look up Mel Gibson paparazzi costume, and he's got like a fake mustache or something.
That's what I
fuck that shit. We're real mustaches on this podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. For real.
It's only a matter of time till we convince Gabers to shave his beard.
I mean, I gotta do a mustache at some point. It makes sense. I just look too much like Hardy. Or Laurel.
I think that's
who's
in your head,
one?
Man.
Tom?
I think it's Laurel.
I look too much like Tom Hardy if I shaved my
I feel
mustache.
Like Hardy. I feel like the fat one being named Hardy is too on the nose.
Yeah, but I think that's the thing. But I would love a mustache. I just
You got to do it. You got to do it like fucking what if not during the pandemic when?
Yeah, I know. I should just do it ASAP. Get a little sun on my fucking cheeks and chin for the first time. Oh, maybe the first Action Boys live show, I'll rock a fucking mustache. I should have done it for the live stream. I'd have a beard again already.
If we do a live show, you should step away to use the bathroom and come back with a mustache.
Hell,
keep some clippers in the bathroom.
Hell yeah! Shout out to Manscaped. Promo code Mighty for 20% off. I'll be using my ball trimmer on my face backstage at the first live Action Boys show. That ought to get enough of you freaks out.
Yeah. Okay. I'm there. I'll subscribe. I didn't know you guys talked about this stuff. Ball shavers on a face.
Hey, good enough for your bush, then good enough for your mush, right?
Yeah. If it can handle the tush and bush, put it up in the old mush.
Let me shave your ass.
Hey. It just spins around.
Hey, thanks for going down on me. Is there anything I can do for you? Can you shave my asshole with my
Manscaped trimmer? Can you take the buzzer out of my asshole, turn it on, and then trim my asshole?
This is a Manscaped trimmer. Hashtag promo code High and Mighty. Can you use it on my inner asshole?
How much would Manscaped have to pay you to shave your asshole live on an Instagram story or something?
I can't say that number out loud. It's humiliating.
Gotta be
the number is so
like
much lower
bucks.
Than you think it is.
I mean, if you don't have your face,
Gabriel's like our version of Shaq. He'll just throw his face on anything
for exposure. Yeah, I'll shave my asshole.
Shaq soda.
Me and the general cutting fucking commercials for I was going to just say something awful. And I was like, that just wrap up this fucking podcast. Don't say anything.
Yeah,
else.
We're almost done. Let's just leave before anything bad happens. Really bad.
Before we got to ask for editing.
Yeah. Yeah, no, thank you. I don't have time for effort. Bye, shitheads.
Bye, shitheads.
Goodbye, shitheads.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
In a part of the world where there are no rules.
Holy shit.
Holy shit, guys. Holy I'm so pumped.
I definitely have not watched this since I rented it on VHS in 92.
Strangers united by the threat of death.
We got all the fucking major players. Seagal.
Vladimir Putin is a good man.
Arnold.
Here, come. Give it to me.
I need you to cream pie me now.
Stallone.
People are loving this movie.
It's actually, it's got a lot of heart.
You're mentally irregular.
Now. Somewhere, somehow,
body blow, body.
Someone's gonna pay.
I would fucking love for my wife to like see me rip a guy's throat out.
But they didn't count on one thing.
This movie's fucking insane.
It's how you know it's a good movie. You have to do almost all the work yourself to figure it out.
Oh, there's a fantasy component. Yeah. There's some sword fighting.
There's some lightning.
Bam, 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 bam.
There's a new game in town.
You wake up after a few years, and then you don't even know who you are anymore.
We're going to be making Terminators.
We're going to make a really great deal with the Xenomorphs.
What? I don't hate them, but I've been in a room with them.
Yes, I understand.
This is now the 20th ending of the movie.
I am Dar.
I'm your dad.
Action, boys. Boys will be boys.
Subscribe here for bonus content and more free stuff from behind the paywall. To get new episodes, become a patron at actionboys.biz.
Do it! Do it!
Come on! Do it now!